This is John Van Drunen, Vice President of ECFA. Thank you for tuning in to this ECFA podcast on preserving charitable giving incentives. With me today is Michael Martin, Director of Member Services and Associate Legal Counsel for ECFA.
Thanks for the introduction, John. First, I'd like to note for our listeners why we are focusing on the topic of preserving charitable giving incentives. At the time of this recording, we are nearing the end of 2012. President Obama and congressional leaders are meeting to resolve some of the most challenging financial issues facing our nation. These include the looming government deficit, tax reform, and the so-called fiscal cliff, a term used to describe the scheduled expiration of Bush-era tax cuts and automatic spending cuts of $100 billion by the U.S. government, effective December 31, 2012, unless Congress acts otherwise. The charitable community is very concerned about any actions that might adversely affect giving to religious and other charitable organizations. If donors give less because incentives are reduced, the beneficiaries of charitable programs suffer. Charities are already stretched to meet growing needs because of the economic trough the country has been in for 5 years. We'll start today's podcast with an overview of how the current charitable contribution deduction works to increase giving to nonprofit organizations. We'll then briefly discuss some of the various ideas that have been proposed to reduce the value of this important giving incentive. Finally, we'll give you information on what you can do to make sure that your voice is heard as givers and leaders to nonprofit organizations across the country. John, with that introduction, could you offer a quick overview to those listening of the current charitable contribution deduction and how it works to increase giving to religious and other nonprofit organizations?
Yes, I'd be glad to, Michael. The current charitable contribution deduction from income tax benefits those who itemize deductions. Essentially, the effect of the deduction is to reduce the after-tax cost of giving by allowing donors to deduct the value of their contributions of cash and property to charitable organizations, but within certain limitations. Here are a few of the basics. The value of the deduction varies based on income. Take a simple example of a donor in the 25% tax bracket. With tax savings of the charitable deduction, the cost of giving $100 to the charity would only be approximately $75. Therefore, as the size of the donation or federal tax bracket increases, so does the tax savings, encouraging even greater giving to charity. The charitable deduction is different than other itemized deductions in that it encourages individuals to give away a portion of their income and other assets to those in need. Other deductions and credits encourage people to consume more of something. The charitable deduction rewards a selfless act, and it encourages taxpayers to give more funds to charities than they otherwise would have given or be able to give. Data suggests that for every dollar a donor gets in tax relief for charitable contributions, the public typically receives $3 of benefit. With that background information on the current law, it might be good to briefly consider some of the ideas that have been proposed to limit current giving incentives. Michael, could you take us through some of these proposals?
Yeah, certainly. In recent years, with the slowing economy and desire for increased government revenue, several proposals have been raised that would reduce the value of the deduction for taxpayers in an effort to increase government revenue through more tax funding. First, President Obama has consistently proposed capping all itemized deductions, including the charitable deduction, at 28% for those with higher income levels. This would impact individuals earning more than $200,000 a year and households earning more than $250,000 per year. This proposal, then, would increase the cost of giving for those with incomes at or above these levels. Second, meanwhile, Governor Mitt Romney proposed a firm dollar cap rather than a percentage on itemized deductions, including the charitable deduction, during the presidential campaign. This proposal has now been discussed by some of the Republican leadership in the House at varying dollar limits. Third, in late 2010, the bipartisan Simpson-Bowles Commission recommended modifying the current deduction. The commission would have allowed taxpayers a tax credit of 12% of their charitable contributions, but to receive the credit, they would first have to donate 2% or more of their adjusted gross income to charity. John, maybe you could explain what these proposals would mean to taxpayers.
Well, the short answer is these proposals all would decrease incentives for giving, especially for those who typically donate the most to charity. This, in turn, requires that more funds be used to pay taxes, thus reducing the amount of funds available to give to charitable organizations, and furthermore, reducing the amount of funds available for organizations to carry out their exempt purposes. While studies have shown that most Americans do not give solely because of the tax benefits like the charitable contribution deduction, there are indications that if the deduction's value is limited through percentage limits, dollar caps, or other tax credits, overall charitable giving would decrease. For example, some estimates suggest that if the president's proposed 28% cap on itemized deductions were adopted, giving would decrease by up to $7 billion a year.
Wow. Well, how would this affect the charitable sector and specifically churches and religious organizations?
Great question. The reason why we're recording the podcast today. Data from ECFA and others suggest that nonprofit fundraising has been flat in 2012, while the need for goods and services provided by nonprofits has increased, as have the costs to provide those goods and services. Since religious organizations have traditionally received the largest amount of charitable giving by category compared to other nonprofits, any decrease in incentives for overall giving would surely have a negative impact on the amount of donations given to churches and other Christ-centered organizations. A recent United Way worldwide poll revealed that two-thirds of Americans don't want the President and Congress to touch the charitable tax deduction in their search for more dollars for the federal government. 67% opposed diminishing the deduction, and 30% signaled that they would reduce their giving levels. This leads us to our final segment today. What can givers and leaders of churches and nonprofits do about this, Michael?
Well, John, the great news is that ECFA has already been very proactive in this area by encouraging the president and congressional leaders to preserve and even strengthen charitable giving incentives in the existing law. Our listeners can visit ECFA's In the News page on our website under the Giving category to see letters recently signed by ECFA through the Charitable Giving Coalition sent to the president and other key leaders on this issue. If a reduction in charitable gift incentives is a concern for you or your organization, we encourage you to make your voice heard by contacting your senators and representative. You can find contact information for your elected representatives at www.usa.gov/contact/elected.shtml. When calling or writing in, you should inform them of the good work charitable organizations are doing in your community and why limiting current giving incentives would be counterproductive to carrying out these good works. During these challenging economic times, most organizations are struggling to provide more goods and services to the public and with fewer resources. Any legislative action to decrease the value of the charitable contribution deduction would only add to this burden. A quick word to our friends who are leaders of nonprofit organizations. In making these contacts, be assured that this type of activity can be legally permissible for charitable organizations. Organizations should be aware of the rules in this area, and we have an excellent summary prepared by a law firm available on the ECFA website. With that, John, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Michael. I would echo that encouragement for givers and leaders to make your voices heard on this important issue for churches and nonprofits. Stay tuned for further information as news developments unfold. If you're not currently on our email list, join by registering for free at ecfa.org. Thank you again for listening in, and God bless you.